Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Second hour open forum. Thanks for being with us. 888-318-7884 is our number. I am Cy Kellett, your host, Tim Staples.
You did it again.
I cannot start that sentence correctly or that title correctly. Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here. See, if I say it fast, it comes out.
There you go.
Here at Catholic Answers is our guest and the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines.
And there was another book.
Oh, I cannot remember that.
It starts with nuts.
Potatoes?
Nuts and bolts.
Oh, yeah. We'd never talk about that book.
Nuts and Bolts, a practical how-to guide for evangelism. I just thought I would mention that, and because you can get that at the website also at Catholic.com.
Yes, you can. You can get them both at Catholic.com. Yes. You'll enjoy Behold Your Mother more, though. No, that's not really true. Although, so many people, Tim, say this. They just are astounded by the comprehensive nature of it. Cool. This was your attempt to really do it like fully.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We actually debated a bit about whether to do the comprehensive thing or just focus on the four dogmas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm glad we did it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. 888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. Oh, by the way, have you finished? I forgot to ask you this.
Yes.
Have you finished your top 10 list of movies?
I finished my top 20.
See, this is my favorite thing about your top 10 list. That a top 10 list from Tim Staples has 30 items on it.
And so, well, for folks who don't know, at my website at timstaples.com, I set out to do my top 10 movies.
I set out to.
There was just too many of them, and so it ended up becoming my top 30. So I have my top 30 movies. Part 1 is 1 through 10. I put up part 2, which is 11 through 20, and I'm about to put up in the next week or so my part 3, so then I will have my top 30.
All right,
but I tried to do my top 10.
And these are really great movies. And so, okay, so from the ones we haven't seen yet, can you tease us with a movie? What's a movie that's going to be featured in the last 10 of your top 30?
Let me think. I might conflate a few, but
On
the Waterfront
is one. Oh, yeah, it could have been a contender, wasn't it?
Yes, I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Oh, my goodness. What else is in there? I might mess up and give you some that I've already given. The 30 kind of run together.
I hate to say this, but I've never seen On the Waterfront. I know somebody had a heart attack the other day when I said I haven't seen Citizen Kane either.
Oh, my God. That was close. That would have been in my top 40.
Well, why stop now then?
But you know what else? You know what else is in my 20 to 30, the first Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
First Rocky made it to my top 30. That was a great movie. That kind of went down from there.
That's two boxing movies now. No, three boxing movies. I only know a few, and you got three boxing ones. On the Waterfront, Rocky, and Cinderella Man.
Cinderella Man,
I know that just from the ones I know. Three boxing. What are you, a boxing fan?
Yes.
888-318-7884, our number. Any question that you have on the life, the faith, the history, the movies of the Catholic Church, we welcome them all.
The movies.
You don't have to be Catholic to call. We go now to, I'm having trouble seeing the number here. I don't want to push the wrong button. Is it 6? Okay, sorry, Neil. Neil in Billings, Montana, listening on KJCR 1240 AM. Neil, your question for Tim Staples.
Yes, I've been a cradle Catholic, as you would say, and it was interesting you mentioned Jehovah Witnesses. My wife used to be one, and when we met 7 years ago, then she started going to church with me, and I fell in love with our little parish in Ballantyne, Montana, and just felt completely at home once she realized what the Catholic Church was about. But anyway, my question is, I struggle with the protection of illegal aliens that are here, you know, breaking the law by being here.
Gotcha.
And the church, recently, I think some bishop said that they would need a search warrant in order to enter the church where he was harboring or protecting, you know, people that weren't here legally.
Right.
So, could you give me some perspective on that and why I should be more tolerant of?
Sure. Well, Neil, first and foremost, the church teaches that all immigrants need to respect the law, and this is, by the way, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, of their host nation. That is the teaching of the church. Now, what we have, and I don't know the situation with this bishop that you're speaking about, so I can't speak to that. But what you can have, Neil, are what happens in particular situations. Even though, Neil, the church teaches, and I emphasize that, we must obey the laws of the host nation. The church is not in favor of illegal immigration. We're in favor of immigration, absolutely. But the church is in favor of legal immigration, not illegal. The church never encourages anyone to break the law unless that law is an unjust law. And, of course, the church teaches that nations have the right to limit the numbers of people that come in their country. Of course, you have to in order to have a country. But, Neil, what can happen, though? All right, given all of that that I just said, that's Catholic teaching. There are complex situations that arise. We have people that come across the border illegally. They're with children. They're in hardship situations, where dire situations. You know, they're fleeing persecution. There are all sorts of possibilities. And what the church cannot be, Neil, is an arm of the government to enforce immigration law. That the church will never be, and she will never stand for that. We do not, in other words, Neil, we do not check green cards before we give people food and drink and protection from the elements and so forth. And I would bet the house that's what that bishop is speaking about. And so if someone is in need, there is an ancient tradition in our church called sanctuary. Now, I'm not saying anything about sanctuary cities or sanctuary states, which that's a whole different animal, which is crazy. But the idea that the church is a sanctuary is a truism that it's profoundly beautiful, that folks can know you can run to the church for asylum, because churches really are a little oasis. This is owned by the Catholic Church, and we have a real country over there, the Vatican, that protects those people, and we hold that to be sacred. Now, the idea is, though, if somebody runs to, say, remember Hunchback of Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
Sanctuary, sanctuary. You know, that
sounds just like Marlon Brando in your earlier thing.
That's right. I mean, it's a beautiful tradition that goes a long way back, right? Long before, right, Vatican II and such. Now, of course, the church, when she takes folks that are in, and this is a sanctuary, the church is going to make demands of the people. If a person has broken the law, the church will say, guess what? You need to turn yourself in and deal with the consequences of your actions. But we are simply not going to act as an arm of the government. That's just not the role of the church. Because, Neil, think about this. If the church were to make that terrible error and start doing the unthinkable and start saying, okay, we're going to handcuff you or whatever, we're, yeah, calling in the police, well, then what about people who need sanctuary so that they can confess their sins? They want to come to the church to be healed, but, oh, no, I can't go there because they'll turn me into the law.
Yeah.
We always, Neil, forgive me for taking so much time on this, but the church has a priority, and that is the soul. You know, we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. I love the fact that, you know, the more accurate English translation, it used to say just us, that I should be healed. Right. But actually, the Latin says that my soul should be healed. Why? Because that's the emphasis in the church, is on the healing of souls, Neil. And so there's going to be a tension, definitely. There always has been, between governments and the church. And honestly, I believe there needs to be a healthy tension between governments and the church, because governments need to know the church is not just an arm of the government. In fact, we are a sanctuary, and we should be a city set on the hill. We should be calling governments to account and saying, hey, you're acting wrong here. Because, Neil, remember, sometimes the government's immigration laws can be unjust and even immoral. As I said, we obey the immigration laws unless they're intrinsically unjust. And so we need to have that sort of independence of the church so that the church can not only call the individuals to, hey, turn your, what you did here is wrong and you need to turn yourself over, but also call governments to account and say, look, you're overstepping your boundaries here. Does that make sense, Neil?
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, if they're here illegally, that's, I mean, I'm not asking the church to turn them in.
Yes. I'm glad.
I'm not understanding. Not okay. That is not the deal, but it's like we're, these people deserve protection, and it's like we can help them if they're here, but they don't belong here. I mean, certainly I'm a descendant of immigrants from, you know, 1830.
So am I.
You know, I, but the,
yes.
Yeah. You know,
no, I'm with you, Neil. And what I want to emphasize, Neil, is the church agrees with you. That it, what you're stating is the official teaching of the church, but we also have to remember there are individual people involved in these situations. And we would love to have everything just so black and white to where we can say, hey, they broke the law, by golly, and so you turn them over now. But it's not always that black and white. There are situations in which we need to take people in and care for them, deal with them on a case-by-case basis, and I'm sure that's what this bishop is doing. But, Neil, there's always going to be a tension. There's always going to be a tension between the law, right, the law of a nation that says this, and an individual case. Would you agree, Neil, that sometimes there can be extenuating circumstances, and sometimes the law can't see that? Sometimes the law doesn't even make provision for that. That's why laws should be malleable. They need to change sometimes. This is why we're calling for immigration reform right now, right? Because obviously our immigration system is broken. The laws have been horrible. They've been ignored and everything else. And so, Neil, what the church says is, look, in the middle of all of this, laws are changing, laws need reforming. We're always going to look at the individual person created in the image and likeness of God, and we're going to be an advocate for them.
Neil, want the last word on that? Or
understand that. It's okay.
Go. Oh, I thought, no, if you had something to say, Neil, because today there was big news on this because of the deferred action thing that the Trump administration changed. And
yes.
So it's going to be a very emotional issue for a while and all that.
And guess what? And Catholics are going to be on both sides of that issue.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I, for the most part, love what Donald Trump is doing. I think he's doing some things, I mean, especially with pro-life. This guy is amazing. It doesn't mean I agree with everything he's doing, but hey, we're going to disagree on things like this. You know, are people gaming the system and, you know, bringing in children? And oh my goodness, there are cases where you have children without parents coming into this country. I mean, basically being sent in, being abused, sexually exploited before they get in, after they get in. I mean, it's so out of control.
Yeah.
That it's a very complex issue, and you can see why people come down on both sides of the issue.
I think that we just can't be have anger as our motivator.
Yes.
We're called by the gospel to love and to find a solution that comports with love. Neil, is that all acceptable to you?
Well, sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with people coming in. It's just when the people that break the law and get in, and then they get citizenship when people have tried for years to get in legally and they won't.
Yes, Neil, that's a whole nother issue. And once again, I agree with you. And what you're saying, I mean, that is, you look back at my forefathers, the Irish who came in. I have Irish forefathers that came in the Northeast, and they obeyed the law. They were at times abused. There was persecution and such, but they became good Americans. They obeyed the law and so forth. Yeah, I agree with you, Neil. That's an example of why we need immigration reform. Is it right for folks to be able to break the law and then jump ahead of the line of somebody that's been waiting lawfully for 15 years. I mean, where's the justice in that? So Neil, you bring up a lot of different issues that I'm afraid are beyond what we're going to be able to do here in a couple of minutes.
Thank you for that call, Neil. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We'll be right back with more great answers from Tim today on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Al Cresta calls Tim Staples' new book, Behold Your Mother, an insightful, comprehensive single volume that persuades so thoroughly. A great, truly great piece of apologetics. Father Mitch Pacwa calls it an invaluable book for thoughtful, truth-seeking Christians. Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, is a groundbreaking new book by apologist and speaker Tim Staples. An apologetics masterpiece, which delves deeper than ever before into the Catholic Church's teachings on our Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception, the Mother of God, her perpetual virginity, her assumption into heaven, and so much more. Get to know our Blessed Mother like you've never known her before. Call 1-888-291-8000, log on to Catholic.com, or visit a good Catholic bookstore in your area, and get your copy of Behold Your Mother today. Also available as an ebook.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Any question or topic you want to bring up about the Catholic Church is more than welcome. And you don't have to be Catholic to call. 888-318-7884. We go now to Carrie in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on TuneIn Radio. I think you're the first person I've met who listens on TuneIn Radio. Carrie, your question for Tim Staples?
Hi, Tim and Cy. I have a son-in-law who he's a wonderful man. He's Jewish by faith and culture, and yes. Probably more by culture. I've been kind of surprised by how much he doesn't know about what, right. You know, our Old Testament is. But I have a feeling that to them, to his family, that becoming Catholic would also mean turning their back on their Jewish culture.
Sure.
Which we know that that wouldn't be so, but they just have a very... I would still consider them mostly secular, actually. They celebrate their high holidays, but that's about it. There's no, you know, in their family, other reading. It's kind of probably like, you know, Christmas and Easter Catholics, too.
Right, okay.
And I just wondered if you had, you know, my husband and I are just trying to live our faith joyfully, and he is, like I said, a wonderful, intelligent person, and we're just kind of hoping to win him over. But I wondered if there was a book you might be able to recommend.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, there's actually a few pop into my head here. I would recommend you check out the Association of Hebrew Catholics. Their website is HebrewCatholic.net. They have just volumes of information there on their website. But Roy Shoman, I'll recommend two books. Roy Shoman wrote a book called Salvation is from the Jews. Now, he's a Jewish convert himself. You've also got some great stuff there from David Moss, who is another Jewish convert. And I'll recommend also, okay, so Salvation is from the Jews by Roy Shoman. Also, The Case for Jesus by Dr. Brant Petrie. Outstanding book. That would be great for a Jewish person to read. Or, you know, I'll give you one more. The Case for Christ. Of course, it was just the movie put out by Lee Strobel. That's another. There's three really good books that will, and I really like Dr. Brent Petrie's A Case for Jesus, because it's real easy to read, but he's got just fantastic fact after fact after fact about this historical person named Jesus. That, and I'll challenge anybody listening right now, you begin to study the historical facts surrounding Jesus Christ, and you better be careful, because you're going to end up a Christian. it really is astonishing the amount of evidence we have, and not just from the four Gospels, although the four Gospels represent an enormous amount of historically verifiable information, but we also have corroborating evidence from non-Christians, you know, in the first, second centuries that also corroborate the reality of Jesus Christ and the early Christians, which also prove that there was a Jesus Christ who really did live, really did die, and is resurrected from the dead. So hopefully that will help you, get you started anyway.
That's right. Thank you so much.
All right.
God Thanks, Gary. Thanks very much for that call. We go now to Paige in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening to EWTN on 90.5 FM. Paige, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi. I have a younger brother. He's 20 years old. Yeah. And right now he's just very involved in drinking and the going out scene. And he's just not going down a good path at all.
Right.
He doesn't really care about himself at all. He doesn't really want to hear what we have to say about right. what he should be doing or what he shouldn't be doing.
Right.
My mom and my sisters and myself are saying we started a novena yesterday to St. Augustine.
Oh, praise God.
To intercede Beautiful. For him. And I just kind of wanted advice from you to maybe try to get to him as to how important it is to like turn now.
Yeah.
Down the right path, and it's not too late.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paige, I can really relate to him, because I went down that path of leaving my Christian faith back then. I wasn't Catholic, but leaving my Baptist faith of my youth behind, and I went down that same path. One thing I would recommend, Paige, is that you and your mom educate yourselves as well as you can. What I find is often in families, Paige, when you have one sibling, maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a father that goes astray, God often uses that as a kind of a wake-up call, you know, that, man, we've really got to learn our faith. Avail yourself to Catholic.com, for example, our website here at Catholic Answers, that can equip you to learn your faith better, so that, now, in your case, Paige, it sounds like, and I don't know because I'm, you know, just hearing bits and pieces from afar, but it sounds like it may not be you and your mom that are going to be the ones to reach your brother. If as you say, you know, he doesn't want to hear anything and he won't listen, it may well be that your role right now is to pray. But I would also encourage you to equip yourself. Get a hold of some good books. You know, Trent Horn just wrote a great book here at Catholic Answers, Why We're Catholic. Be a great book for you and your mom to read, because it gives you a foundation in apologetics, why we believe in Jesus, why we believe in the Catholic Church, you know, sacraments and our view of salvation and other things like that. So use this time, because what will happen, and Paige, I'm going to recommend to you that you pray that a third party comes in. Often what happens in families, you know, yeah, the family members get fired up, but it's not necessarily the family members. It'll be a third party, you know, that will come in, and he's the one that will be able to minister to your brother. So pray, when you pray your novena, pray that God would send somebody into his life. And I'll tell you what, I would love to be that guy. If I could ever get a shot at your brother, you know, you can let him know. I would love to talk to him. And believe me, over the years, I've talked to a lot of wayward men and have been able to be helpful, you know, to this degree or to another. But we will certainly be here for you, Paige, and for your mother to help to equip you. And if any time, if, you know, you can get him, hey, you should listen to these knuckleheads at Catholic Answers on the radio. You might want to check that out. And they've got some interesting guys on here. They got this one knucklehead named Tim Staples who you might want to listen to. And he said, he'd talk to you anytime, you know. So, you know, just pray and praise God that you're doing the novena. But again, I would emphasize, really allow the Lord to speak to you. And he already is, obviously, because you're doing this novena, and that's a wonderful place to start. But God's going to speak to your heart and open doors that Cy and I have no idea are going to be open next week for you to talk to your brother, or you to maybe talk to somebody in your area, somebody who's theologically inclined or philosophically inclined that might be willing to talk to your brother. So be open to the Lord and stay on your knees, and please stay in touch with us as well. If we can ever be of assistance, you just let us know.
Paige, thank you very much for that call. Your love for your brother is obvious, and the pain in your voice is obvious, and you certainly will be in our prayers. We got another half hour coming of Open Forum here on Catholic Answers, so if you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't dialed yet, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God sometimes reveal himself privately? How does the Church discern reports of supernatural miracles and apparitions? What are some of the most famous Marian apparitions in history? And what do they teach us? In 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, explaining the scriptural and theological basis for private revelation, unpacking the Church's approach to evaluating and promoting miraculous phenomena, and sharing inspiring accounts of approved apparitions and revelations from the distant past to the present age. 20 Answers Apparitions and Revelations is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines by apologist and speaker Tim Staples is an apologetics tour de force, which delves deeper than ever before into the Catholic Church's teaching on our Blessed Mother. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her Assumption into Heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, Tim gives you the facts and backs them up with solid biblical evidence in the way only Tim Staples can do. Call 1-888-291-8000, log on to Catholic.com, or visit a good Catholic bookstore in your area and get your copy of Behold Your Mother today. Now available in paperback and as an ebook. Get your copy today.
Debbie Giorgiani.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I began serving in ministry when I was just 21 years old, and I've never looked back since. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum. Lots and lots of questions yet to get to, so we will try to move quickly for this last half hour. Tim Staples, yes. Our guest. Tim, as I always say, is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. I never get that wrong. And the author of Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. We go now to Mike in McAllen, Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Mike, are you, first of all, I don't know where McAllen is. Are you dry there?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, we didn't get as bad as Houston did, but yeah, we're down on the border with Mexico almost.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I hope you're all well there. What's your question for Tim?
Quick question. Just about a year ago, unfortunately, I got divorced, something that I did not want. I prayed hard about it, to get divorced.
Sorry to hear that, brother.
After 16 years, it was pretty bad.
Oh, boy.
I prayed hard, and I did as much as I could. I took her to a counselor and everything, and he just plain out told me, you know what, there's nothing we can do about it. She's just not willing to. Wow. Anyway, my question is, well, I try hard in front of the court, in front of the judge, to say that I did not want to get divorced. She gave me some bogus reasons, one of them being me not wanting her to have a in vitro fertilization, because I don't believe in that. I mean, as a Catholic.
Oh, my goodness.
And anyway, she, among other things, she said compatibility plus some little things like that. Those were.
Mike, do you guys have any kids? Do you have any kids?
No, we didn't. We did not have any kids.
Okay.
And kind of sort of like, you know what, that's your fault. You didn't want to go through with this and this and that.
Right.
Anyway.
Wow.
So a bunch of, like I said, bogus reasons. And anyway, So we got to get divorced because she insisted, even though I wish that never happened.
Right.
My question now is, what would I do? I'm not that old. What if ever down the line I do meet another person and the right person, I hope.
Yeah.
And would I be able to remarry? I mean, something that I did not want to, that I did not ask for, God knows. I try my best not to.
Yeah, well, Mike, it's a really important question that you ask, and there's probably others that are listening that are in similar situations. So I really appreciate your call, Mike. But no, the fact is that the church presumes that you are still married. You are still married because, as you know, a legal divorce does not separate a validly contracted marriage. Right. Even a natural marriage is not separated by a legal divorce. The only thing that can even separate a valid natural marriage would be either the death of one of the spouses or a divine authority, you know, the church, for example. But in your situation, can I ask, were both of you baptized?
At Catholic Church.
Yeah.
We both Catholics.
Both Catholics. So, yeah, you were married in the church. So, yeah, you are still married to your wife. Now, of course, there is the possibility of attempting an annulment, which, you know, that would involve investigating the initial consent that was given. Was it truly a valid sacramental union? But it sounds to me like the answer would be yes, it was. Now, of course, I can't presume to speak for a tribunal, but that is a possibility down the road, Mike, the attempt at an annulment. But let's say it's no, what you presume, what you think is true, and what it sounds to me is true, that you had a valid sacramental union. And let's say the tribunal were to say no, that yes, there is no annulment here. Mike, of course, we have 1 Corinthians 7:10, where St. Paul tells us if your spouse leaves you, you must either remain celibate or be reconciled with your spouse. Don't underestimate, Mike, the power of God's grace in prayer to pray for reconciliation, that God's grace would enter in, you know, remain open to that. And I know it may sound really bleak right now, but there is. Have you ever heard, Mike, of a group called Retrovi?
No, I have not.
Yeah, Retrovi is a group that they do retreats and counseling for folks who have situations like yours that are just, you know, it looks hopeless for the union to be restored. That might be something, you know, just to keep in mind. Retrovi is what it's called, you know, for down the road. But in the meantime, Mike, I would suggest to you that, yeah, you seek to reconcile in whatever way you can. You know, and that's between you, your wife, and God. But also, you know, use this time, Mike, as a time where you have time to really focus on your relationship with God. You know, God, one thing we know, Mike, Romans 8:28 tells us, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose, those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So we know God is going to bring, it's not maybe. As long as we trust God, we know he's going to bring something good out of this. It may well be, Mike, that God has a plan for you. You know, dive into your faith. Get involved at the parish. Get involved with your faith. You know, check out Catholic.com. We've got tons of information for you to go deeper into your faith. Avail yourself, perhaps volunteer at the parish and see what God has for you there, and you might find all sorts of doors open. So, you know, I think, Cy, to me, it's a matter of being open to what the Lord's will is here, right?
Right, right.
You know, does that make sense, Mike?
You know, it does, and I am currently going up 1 hour adoration a week, and I'm, like I said, I'm praying hard to Lord Jesus that would enlighten me and see what's ahead of for me, because she was even willing to test just in front of the court, say, you know what, I'm willing to go ahead and say, it's me that wants the divorce, not you, so I can sign an annulment, wow. But I knew it wasn't that easy.
Is there another man in the picture, by the way? You know, don't say if you don't want to, but it does she have someone else?
Apparently, and according to what she says, she said no. In fact, when I asked her, she felt offended. I said, okay, fine. And then what are your reasons? And she says, incompatibility. Not compatible. Okay. Exactly. There you go. And the fact that, like I mentioned, the fact that I didn't want to pursue
in vitro,
you know, some of the things that she wanted. Yeah. So even the judge, the pastor that I spoke to, a priest, and my psychologist said, wait a minute, what? I said, well, those are her reasons. So, wow. I mean, I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to see what comes my way. I mean, I'm going to try hard. It's just
Mike, I really appreciate your spirit. I appreciate, man, you are a blessing, my friend. God is asking you to carry a heavy cross right now. But we know, my friend, at the end of whatever path we're on, that God asks us to carry a heavy cross, there is going to be a glorious resurrection. And so, you know, you can certainly look forward to that. You will, as we read today in the Psalms, I will see, you know, stand on that, you know. God, of course, that's King David writing. He says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, not just in the next life, but in the land of the living, my friend. You are going to see the goodness of the Lord. God bless you, Mike.
Mike, thank you very, very much for that call. Open forum again on Catholic Answers Live today. We go now to Alex in Garden Grove, California, watching on Facebook. Thanks to everybody who watches on Facebook. Alex, your question for Tim Staples.
Hey, guys. Like you said, I'm from Garden Grove, California, and all my life I've been a Catholic. But my family, however, is a Buddhist. And so earlier in the day, you guys had answered a question regarding different denominations.
Yes.
So my question to you guys has to do with different faiths in general.
Yes.
I think I've grown up hearing different things from different people, both Catholic and non-Catholics.
Right.
But the majority of the non-Catholic would say, you know, if you don't believe in Christ, you're not going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell, things like that. Majority of the Catholic people I've asked told me about purgatory and how even if you don't believe in Christ, even if you haven't gotten a chance to, you know him and read the gospel and things of that nature, you still get a chance to go to heaven through purgatory. So I just want some clarification to see if I'm on the right track thinking about if the latter is true or not. Because I think that's what I agree to understand, that whether you know God or not,
Well,
God
Alex,
ultimately in the end will decide.
I got you. Well, Alex, it is true that there's a possibility for non-Catholics to go to heaven. Purgatory is not for that purpose. So just to tweak your response there a little bit, purgatory is a place, or more properly, a state of being after death, where those who are in a state of grace at the point of death, whether they are Catholic, Baptist, Buddhist, whatever, if they're cooperating with God's grace at the time of their death, but they still have, you know, venial sins or punishment due for sins that still on their soul, they would go to purgatory for that final purification. So purgatory is not a second chance. It's not a place where you go and you can accept Jesus or reject Jesus. No, that's for the saved that still need a final little, I like to call it a pit stop, right? A cleanup station on the way to heaven. So here's the key. We do believe that there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, and there's no salvation apart from the Catholic Church on the objective level, because God established it that way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Right? You can't get to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the Church is the extension of Jesus Christ into this world. Ephesians 1:22 and 23 tells us that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is Jesus Christ. So if you reject Jesus or the church, that is the Catholic Church, you're not going to go to heaven. Now, that's objectively true. That's the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ and his church. However, for those who have never rejected Jesus Christ knowingly and willingly or his church, they have the possibility of salvation if they cooperate with God's grace, as I mentioned before, if they cooperate with God's grace where they are, if they are, first of all, invincibly, we use the term in Catholic theology, invincibly ignorant, which means not responsible for their ignorance of the truth, and then they cooperate with God's grace where they are. In fact, you know, there's, you know, they have to have supernatural faith and the grace of God in their lives, perfect charity. There's all sorts of qualifiers, but it can be accomplished apart from a visible sort of, you know, relationship with the Catholic Church. That is, I like to make the distinction between a salvific relationship versus a formal relationship. You don't have to have a formal relationship with the Catholic Church. That is, your name is on the registry at a Catholic parish in order to get to heaven. But you do have to have a salvific relationship, which means if you are invincibly ignorant, but you are striving and God gives you grace in ways that we're not privy to, and we believe God gives grace to everyone, no matter if they're Buddhist, Baptist, Islam, Muslim, it doesn't matter. God, in his mercy, will give grace. If they cooperate with God's grace, they have the possibility of salvation. But of course, we want to get Jesus to everyone, because the only way we can, in other words, you can't have the certainty of salvation that we have as Catholics because of the gifts of the Eucharist and confession, where we can have the greatest level of moral certitude you can have this side of heaven, right, through the sacraments. We need to get the sacraments to everyone. In other words, you know, it's more difficult to be saved apart from a formal relationship with the church, but the possibility is there. Does that make sense, Alex?
That does. Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely. Right. If I may, I have an example I'd like to give. Mm-hmm. If I have family members, you know, younger siblings or cousins or whatnot, and they're not necessarily familiar with the church teaching in any way, shape, or form, yeah. How then will I apply what you just said to that particular situation? Let's say if they're, you know, gossiping or if they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. What I know is, you know, Ten Commandments, you shouldn't be doing those things. But
that's
if
right.
they aren't aware of that, how will I then jump in and, you know, handle that?
That's right. Yeah. Well, we know the Ten Commandments is not a Catholic-only club, right? We're not going to say thou shalt not kill is only for Catholics. If somebody out there kills, well, you know, they don't really have the Ten Commandments. So, no, we know that the moral laws are written on the hearts of everyone. St. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He says that the moral law or the natural law is written on our hearts so that all are without excuse. So folks, even outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, know gossiping's wrong. They know lying is wrong, calumny's wrong, detraction is wrong. Now, can it be that people become malformed, they never learn these things, and so they aren't consciously aware that gossiping is wrong? Yeah, that's a possibility as well, and so that's why we say, you know, we're not the judge, God is. But on an objective level, we can say, look, that's written on your heart. You know lying is wrong. You ought not to do it. Can people become malformed? Of course, that's possible. Pathological liars, there's all sorts of possibilities. That's why, again, we don't get into the business of judging people's souls. What we do is just as you would with a Catholic. Of course, you to whom much is given, much is required. We have higher standards for Catholics, and there should be. But you talk to folks who aren't Catholic the same way you'd talk to a Catholic, generally speaking. You ought not to gossip. That's not good. It does a lot of damage, and this is why. Detraction, calumny, and so forth. So, you know, if we're a loving person and we want the best, what does love mean? To will the good of the other. If we really want the best for our brothers and sisters, no matter who they are, we're going to try to help them. And if they're going down the wrong path, just as James 5, verse 19 says, you know, if you see your brother in error and you warn him and you convert your brother, you've saved a soul from death and have covered a multitude of sins. That would apply with somebody who's not Catholic as well. But I'll leave you with this one last thought, though. One thing we must always emphasize in our lives as Catholics, that is evangelism. Because we need to know that folks can't get to heaven just by their own power, their own strength. So we really do need to, where we can, introduce Jesus Christ. You know, Pope St. John Paul the Great makes an awesome statement in Catechesi Tridende, his great encyclical letter on catechizing, the importance of Catholic teaching. He says that often we try to make disciples out of people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to begin with. And it's kind of like, he uses the analogy of trying to have two people that are not married be intimate with each other. They can't, because they haven't made that commitment. The grace is not there. They're entering into an unholy union. Isn't that interesting? He says to try to make somebody live the gospel who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ is analogous to that. And so we do have to keep that in mind. We need folks to get the grace of Jesus Christ into their lives so that they can, in fact, live, as St. Paul says, you know, in Romans chapter 8, the first four verses, and I'll just quote verse 4 there. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because it's only if you're walking in the Spirit that you can fulfill the law. So we don't want to batter people with the law when they don't have the ability to even fulfill it. That's why we need to get them Jesus.
Alex, thanks so much for that call. More Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. And at $3 a copy when purchased in bulk, it's perfect for parish distribution and any of your adult faith formation needs. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 4:31, when a man with an unclean spirit approached Jesus in the synagogue, he rebuked the spirit, which then left the man. The people were amazed. What is there about his words? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. News about him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. We live in a culture that distrusts authority, while at the same time admires that which is authoritative. Actually, to speak with authority is to speak with fidelity to the author, that is, the one the speaker represents. In the case of our Lord, he was representing the Father, who is the author of all and from whom all lawful authority comes. Obedience comes from the Latin ab audire, to hear. It remains for us to obey lawful authority, because in doing so, we are allowing ourselves to hear the author, the Lord God himself. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. We only have a short time left, so I'm going to try to just go quickly to calls. Tim Staples, our guest this hour, both hours today. Let's go to Gilbert in Riverside, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Gilbert, your question for Tim.
My brother in Christ, how are you?
Doing well, Gilbert. God bless you. What's on your mind, brother?
Tim, you are awesome. I want to say, my question is a two-part question on Matthew 27. Is when Pontius Pilate washes his hands, he's responsible for the scourging, but when he washes his hands and he says that he's free of this man's blood,
right?
is he really free? The sin that he committed from the crucifixion, is he free from that?
And no, he's not. Let me jump in there, Gilbert, because before you get to your second question, absolutely not. He's not free at all. Whenever I read that gospel, man, that should be a challenge to us, because that's our tendency. You know, I don't have anything to do with this, man. Look, you'll get that with people. Well, all I did was drive her to the abortion clinic, man. I didn't pay for it or anything like that. You know what? You can't get enough soap and water to wash the blood off your hands if you've participated in abortion or any sort of mortal sin. But that tends to be, come on, it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, right? You know, where's your brother, Cain, right? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. And so, yeah, you will never blush, be able to wash the blood off of those hands, Pontius Pilate. And that's for all of us. You know, the only way to truly wash the blood off our hands is by going to confession and receiving the forgiveness that only comes in Jesus Christ. But you had a second point real quick, because we're running out of time.
Absolutely. And this first one hit me when I was praying the rosary, is when the Pharisees say, let his blood be upon us and upon our children.
Yes.
The word children, does that mean us? So by doing that, did he contract that sin onto the rest of us?
Right.
And it's been digging in my mind for a few years.
Yes. Already. Gilbert, another really good question. When they say, let his blood be upon us and our children, that gives us a profound sense of the absolute heinous nature of sin. Sin by its very nature. Think about it. Vice tends to more vice. Virtue tends to more virtue. That's the way it works in the moral life. You know, vice, sin tends to replicate itself. We know that psychologically, Gilbert, so often, and it seems counterintuitive, abused children often will end up abusing. Even though you'd think, wow, wouldn't they despise that and not do it? It's not the way things... Now, it doesn't mean 100% of the time, but it does mean there is a tendency that vice replicates itself just like virtue. Have you ever noticed how where you have a very virtuous set of parents, you will often have virtuous children? Doesn't mean 100% of the time, because we have free will, but generally speaking, that's the way it goes. So that verse there speaks to, now unfortunately in Christian history, some use that verse against the Jews, right? That this is why, oh, those cursed Jews, which is an abuse of the text. What it is saying is that anyone who sins and attempts to justify his sins, it's going to affect him and his children and his children's children, for who to, you know, as scripture in the Old Testament says, to the 10th generation and so forth, unless God's grace enters into the picture. And so that's what we always have to keep in mind as well, Gilbert, that God's grace can enter into the scene at any time, whether in the lives of those people in the first century who were saying, let his blood be upon us, or their children or their children's children. But it does establish a general pattern of how sin tends to replicate itself in the lives of the children. That's the way it works. Gilbert, one last thing. I know we're running out of time, but Gilbert, think about this. You ever go to an inner city and go to what they used to call years ago, I don't know if they still have them, I would imagine they do, called crack rooms, where they have crack babies.
Yeah.
In inner cities, you can actually see, it's horrible, babies who are literally born addicted to crack cocaine, or now I'm sure it's worse drugs. But that is an example of the sins of the parent affecting the child. Now, the child's not culpable for that sin. Of course not. But that child feels the effect of that sin. And that's what we're talking about when it says, let his blood be upon us and our children. Those people are being used in a prophetic sense to proclaim a profound truth about the nature of sin.
Gilbert, thank you very much for that call. I'm sorry to those we weren't able to get to, but we did get to a lot today.
Yes, we did.
On Open Forum today. And tomorrow, I believe the chaplain is back in tomorrow.
Well,
I'm not certain. But I think, is that right? Chaplain in tomorrow? Okay, so he says we'll try. Now that I've promised it. So you can call with more pastoral-type questions tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live. You can continue to support recovery from Hurricane Harvey by going to Catholic Charities USA or the Knights of Columbus website at kofc.org. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.